I do a lot of safety training at work, and I enjoy doing it. And one of the things I do in my safety training that others don't do so often is I have little phrases, little catchphrases, little mottos I try to live by. My favorite, the most important one to me is everybody goes home. You come to work, and eventually everybody goes home. Pretty much the same condition that they came in. Maybe a little more tired, hopefully a little richer, but essentially the same as they came. I'm very concerned about the safety of my coworkers. One of my mottos is this, and it involves safety hazards. If you see a safety hazard, if you see it, you own it. If you see a safety hazard, you own that safety hazard. You clear it up, or you get someone who can and takes ownership of it from you. Now, what does it mean to take ownership of something? Take care of it. Fix it. I sometimes think of the word responsibility. I take responsibility for it. Did I make the mess? No. But it became my responsibility because I saw it. Because I care about my coworkers. I don't want anyone else to get hurt. That means you take responsibility for somebody else's mess. Somebody else made a mess, you take responsibility for it. Today is the Sunday after Christmas, and one of the features of the Sunday after Christmas is it's called, in the liturgical calendar, Holy Family Sunday. It is a Sunday to remember that while Jesus was born, there were other people involved in this process, certainly Mary and Joseph. My focus is going to be Joseph this morning. Joseph had an ominous task. I want you to think for just a moment. There are people in this church raising someone else's child, a child that really isn't theirs. And this happens through adoption or other methods. People raising someone else's child. Imagine, for a moment, God comes up to you and says, "Hi, I want you to raise my son." Do you feel a little intimidated? How many ways can I mess this up? Well, that's the proposition God gave to Joseph. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at the 18th verse. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After Jesus' mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after Joseph had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we recognize Joseph as someone who took responsibility for a situation he never created. He took responsibility for the life of Jesus, your son, and all that that entailed. And so, we see in Jesus himself one who took responsibility, in a sense, for all of us and for our sin. Help us to look at him, especially. In Jesus' name, amen. I was asked this week what is meant by Joseph wanting to put her away, and of course the Holman clears that up. We understand that the culture of this day, and actually in some cultures in our present day, an engagement was more than an engagement. It was more than we have as an engagement. For us, an engagement is you make a promise to each other, you give a ring, and that's it for a while until you have the wedding. But in this culture, very much the same, except now that's a contract, a binding contract, as binding as a marriage itself. Even though you're not living together yet, even though you have not consummated the marriage yet, you are engaged and that contract is binding. And if there is impropriety on either person's part, the law says that is adultery and is punishable by that method. Divorce is mentioned here because it is assumed. It is assumed. Joseph, if he had any brain in his head, knew that this woman he's engaged to, who's now pregnant, if he had any sense, he would have nothing more to do with her. That is assumed. That is right. That is proper. That's how you handle this stuff in that culture. It would also probably result in Mary being stoned to death. He didn't want to do that. And so he was going to make this a quickie, run to Las Vegas. Well, not really, but get a quickie secret divorce. Hopefully she'll find some way to manage this situation away from him. It's not his mess to clean up. It's a mess, but it's not his mess to clean up. And God said, Joseph, I want you to take ownership of that mess. Now, marrying Mary, of course, brings into the mind of everyone around Joseph what? What does everyone assume? It's his kid. Joseph couldn't wait. And Joseph is looked down upon, disgraced, degraded by his culture, by the people around him. Why? Because he took ownership of a mess. He was saying, by marrying her, I am responsible for this child. Well, folks, in the cosmic situation of things, you and I have made a mess. We've sinned. And we've made a mess. And in order to clean up this mess, what did God do? He made a mess. He made a mess to clean up the mess. Now, Jim and Kathy work in a situation or live in a situation where there are perhaps occasional, if not frequent, chemical spills. I work at a factory. We get occasional, probably less frequent, chemical spills. Now, the chemicals that we might spill might not be terribly hazardous, but your stuff just might be real dangerous. Do you ever put something on that chemical to soak it up? So in other words, to clean up the mess, you make a bigger mess. A bigger mess to clean up the mess. You know, Jesus, as an adult, was taunted on this very point. In John 8:41, the people said, you know, Jesus talked about being born of God, and they said, we weren't born of fornication. A friend of mine who was in contact with some college students at a university spoke of efforts to reach out to Chinese students coming to that university. Now, understand something. If a Chinese person, if a person comes from China to the United States to study, they are dyed-in-the-wool communists, they are dyed-in-the-wool atheists, they are dyed-in-the-wool party members. If not, they'd never get out of the country to come here. They have to be absolutely, positively loyal, not only to the state, but to the philosophy of the state. And efforts to reach out to them and share Christ with them meet a brick wall until Christmas, which is kind of early in the year, so it's real convenient. Why? Because they talk about Mary and how she was a virgin and conceived. And they say, we're listening. Why? Why would they listen to that? Because it's disgraceful. And if it's disgraceful and they're talking about it, it has to be true.
They wouldn't lie. They wouldn't make up a disgraceful story to promote Christianity. How do you promote Christianity by making it disgraceful? They said the only reason you could possibly be telling this story is because it's true. Joseph took ownership, took responsibility. In verse 24, it says, when Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her. And so Joseph demonstrates perfectly to us what Jesus did. Notice what is said about Jesus in verse 21. Verse 21 is the key. She will give birth to a son. Got that? You are to call him Jesus. Fine, means Jehovah saves. Because he will save his people. Jesus takes ownership of a people he's never met. He takes ownership of you. If you have come to Christ, he has taken ownership of you. And let me take that even further. He has taken responsibility for you. And when you, if you know Christ, when you stand before God and God says, here are your sins, Jesus stands up and says, I take personal responsibility for every sin on that person's list. God made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus took our mess. Because that's how God operates. That passage that Ed read to us was so powerful. God saw that there was no justice. Justice was gone. Isaiah wrote that hundreds of years before Christ. It could be in this morning's newspaper. God saw that there was no justice. And he was offended. I like that. When God sees no justice, he's offended. And not only did he see there was no justice, he saw there was no man. He was amazed that there was no one interceding. God was amazed. And when God gets amazed, what should you do? You should need CPR, folks. When God is amazed, you should have a heart stopper. And God said, all right. His own arm brought him salvation and his own righteousness supported him. God said, I see a mess and I'm going to take it. There's nothing I can do to clean up my mess. It's not hard for me to clean up my mess. It's impossible. I can't do it. There is no one who can help me except Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 says that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. And so, what did Jesus have in Joseph? Not a perfect man, but a model for what His own work, life, and ministry was going to be. That's what Jesus did. Took responsibility for a mess we made. That's why we call Him the Savior. If you don't know Him this morning, or if you're not sure you do, then let me assure you, you've got a mess. You've also got the cleanup guy, if you want Him. We're going to sing number 199. It'll be very familiar to you. And if God has spoken to you about your need for the cleanup man, for the man to clean up your sin, Jesus Christ not only bore our sins on the cross, died for us, but rose again, showing that His sacrifice was acceptable to God. Oh, come all ye faithful. It's there. Let's stand as we sing. Oh, come all ye faithful.
God has spoken to you about it someday, you come and talk to me about it. Sing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." If you need the words, you might want to position yourself so you can see them. If you don't need them, and you don't need to. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine on you by His grace. The Lord turn His smiling face to you and give you His peace.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The